Thanks. Good afternoon. I'm David Tan, and it's a pleasure to be here today. I got my start in the Singapore Air Force, and that was in 1975, a long time ago. I was 20 years old, and this was my primary trainer. We used them as primary trainers. The student did 120 hours on these, and then went over to BAC Strike Masters for 140 before getting our wings. I currently fly a Falcon 2000 for NetJets in this country. Have about 12,000 hours. A few years ago, I was looking to do some formation flying, and I was looking around at the various signatory groups that did this in the U.S., and I found the Red Star Pilot Association, and I was really impressed because the Red Stars have the best procedures, the best manuals, and most of all and most importantly, the best levels of flight discipline. And that's very important when you're going to launch like 14 ships during an air show like we did for the last 2 days. And it's been a really good experience. Now, you know all about the Russian and Chinese aircraft they've been flying. And so I got my qualification, got my fast card with Red Stars, and I kind of asked one of the senior guys, hey, is there any chance I can fly with you? You know, I've got an Italian airplane. And he says, yes, you did your qualification here. You can fly with us. So, you know, there's a bit of an irony in this. You have all these Caucasian guys flying Russian and real Chinese airplanes. Finally, a Chinese guy shows up in an Italian airplane. So my call sign is Quota. You know, I'm hiring quotas, you know, we're going to meet the quota. But yesterday, I actually met a Chinese guy, you know, from mainland China, and he's got a Nanchang, and, you know, we're looking forward to have him get his card and fly with us. How many of you out here know what a Falco is? Great. The Cymarchetti SF-260 started life as the Avia Milano F-260 and was designed by a really talented Italian named Stelio Frati, who also designed the Falco. That's why there's some family resemblance there. Frati was kind of like a bag or a shoe designer, you know, Italian stylist, you know, beautiful styling. And it's really interesting that in Italy you have these boutique designers and they'll sell their designs to various manufacturers, you know, in the hope that go into production. But of all Frati's designs, this was the only one that actually made it into quantity production. I think there are probably about 800 to 1,000 worldwide. Very interestingly, from a Falco point of view, when Frati designed the Falco, he could not fly at all. And later on, he actually went to one of the aero clubs in Italy and got his private pilot license on a Falco. And unfortunately, Frati died at the age of 90 about 2 years ago. Well, anyway, what happened was the Avia Milano F-250 started off as a touring airplane. I think in Europe, they have these things called touring airplanes, like which would be what you would get into maybe for a weekend, go somewhere, maybe for dinner, nice glass of wine. But an old flying boat company called Savoia Marchetti, and if some of you might remember their SM-79... World War II tri-engine bombers. Savoia Marchetti saw the Avia Milano F-250 and bought the rights from Frati, put a 260-horsepower Lycoming in it, and it became the Cymarchetti SF-260. This was the earlier version, and you can kind of tell them apart because it's got a slightly shorter tail than this aeroplane. And initially, in the early 70s and late 60s, they were actually used by airlines like Sabena as primary trainers. So it was a pretty versatile trainer. You could use it for instrument flying. The student could learn how to fly airways. And you could do spin training and other maneuvers as well. And Cymarchetti in the early 70s decided to go into the military trainer market. And what they did was they modified the standard F-260 design and made it slightly stronger, put a bigger rudder in it, taller tail, and marketed it to various air forces. In Singapore, our Air Force started in 1967, and in 1968, we had Cessna 172Ks for training. And they found that the 172 was really too docile as a primary military trainer. So they bought these in 1971. Currently, the countries that use the F-260 for training are Belgium, Italy, and Turkey, and a few other countries around. Our Air Force flew them from 1971 to about 1999. So it turned out to be a fairly good trainer. And one of the questions I get asked a lot of times is, why do you fly it from the right? And the reason being, when you fly a tactical aircraft, you fly with your right hand on the stick and your left hand on the throttle. And in a side-by-side trainer, the ideal setup is actually to have the pilot in command, the primary pilot, fly from the right side. So he can use his left hand to switch fuel tanks, operate the trim, operate the avionics, and so on. So you know, that's the reason why student flies from the right. They came up with the military version, the SF-260M or civilian B model in the early 70s. In about 1980, we decided to build an armed version called the SF-260 Warrior. And what they did was they put strong points in the wings and they had the wiring to take a gun sight and weapons systems and fuel. One of the other things they did was they lowered the seat so that you could fly the aircraft with a helmet. But what they found out was when you lowered the seat, you also lowered the leverage of a stick. So to compensate for the stick feel, because now you're sitting lower and your hand's a lot lower in the stick, they put servo tabs on the ailerons. I mean, that is the detail they went into. They built other versions called the SF-260 Sea Warrior, which carried a radar on one of ends of one of the tip tanks and searchlight on the other for like maritime patrol. There's also a turboprop version of his aircraft. If you remember the James Bond movie Quantum of Solace, that was an SF-260 with an Allison 250 turboprop. And it was flown by Steve Hinton in the movie, and he did a really good job. I know the guy who provided the airplane and also flew in the DC-3, and it actually took them 2 weeks of filming and 68 hours of flying just for that short series where Bond forces that airplane into the terrain. This particular model is an SF-260C, and that's the equivalent to the Armed Warrior version. In fact, they both rolled off the same assembly line, and there were the only difference was that in the civilian C model, what they did was instead of putting the hardpoints on, they covered up the places where the hardpoints would go. But if you look inside the wings, you find that the wiring harness and the fuel lines are all plumbed in there. This particular aircraft was built in 1983. In 1933, the old Marchetti company flew 20 flying boats, 24 S-55 flying boats across the Atlantic. They flew from Genoa, Italy, across the Atlantic, and they went to Chicago for the World's Fair. It was led by an Italian general named Marshal Balbo, who was instrumental in promoting air power in Italy. So apparently they flew into Chicago, and they were very well greeted, they had a good time, and they flew back. So in 1983, the 50th anniversary of the first flight, Cy Marchetti laid down a batch of 10 airplanes and decided to reenact the flight. They flew them across the Atlantic, and they landed at Meigs Field. The airplanes would be sold afterwards. They would remain in the U.S. and be sold in the civilian market by somebody named Frank Strickler. Some of you might know him. He's big in the warbird community. So when the Italians arrived in 1983 in Meigs Field, they arrived apparently within a couple of hours of the historical anniversary, and they flew all around the city between the buildings. The FAA was not happy at all. So after that happened, they actually came here to Oshkosh, and they wanted to demonstrate the aircraft. But the FAA said, well, you don't have a low-level waiver, so 1,500 feet's your hard deck. On the last day of a show, kind of like today, the Italian leader decided, well, you know, I don't need the hard deck. I mean, so what? You're going to ground me? Show's over. We're going home tomorrow. So he went and did all stops pull demonstration, and he finished one of his maneuvers underground. So there were only 9 aircraft left that went into the civilian market, and this was one of them. It's a really interesting aircraft from a flying viewpoint. The reason I like it is I'm big into handling, and I'm really blessed because I get to fly this Falcon at work, and it handles beautifully, and then I get to fly this for love at home, so I'm really blessed. The handling's real nice. It's very responsive, controls are very light. You fly with your right hand with stick, left hand on the throttle. The engines are 250 horsepower Lycoming. Most of the ones in this country have carburetors, but this particular one is an AEIO 540. I've got inverted fuel and oil in it. The interesting thing about this aircraft, the thing that makes it very different from a Cessna or a Piper, is the airfoil. It actually has an NACA 6000 series airfoil, which is supposedly a laminar flow airfoil, and it's got very little wing area. So it punches through turbulence like an arrow. It actually has 107 square feet of wing. So it's got a tinier wing than a Cessna 152, and it's got 2.5 times the power. The thing you've got to watch out for in this laminar flow airfoil is that it generates a lot of drag at high angles of attack. Back in Singapore, we had a student and instructor doing touch and goes in the pattern. And on one of them, a student botched the move, and they wanted to go around. And the student didn't unload the aircraft, so it didn't have enough power to fly out of it. The aircraft basically careened all over the airport and destroyed itself, but the two guys walked out. Very interesting footnote. The instructor was actually the guy who committed suicide in that Silk Air 737 that went into a river in Sumatra. They think he pulled the CVR and, you know, took everybody with him. So, you know, interesting postscript. Other than that, what's good about the airplane is firewall forward, it's all American. It's a Lycoming engine. The oil filters are Champion. Use Champion plugs. I've got GAMI injectors. I've got a JPI EGT gauge in it. Cleveland brakes. Goodyear tires. So the normal expendables are pretty easy to get and quite easily available. I've had this aircraft since 2005, and really we haven't had many problems with it. The good thing about this airplane is I have a standard category airplane, so I'm not subject to any of the limitations of experimental exhibition and can take this airplane as far as I want to. The paint job is so I fit in with my friends here in the Red Star, and you notice I've got a little subdued gray star on the side. I have 12-inch end numbers because I like to cross borders, and that's a requirement. I would love to have tiny little end numbers, but, you know, it's not allowed. I actually took the plane across the water to Honduras in May, and it's worked out extremely well. The call sign. 25 commemorates number 125. That was the last Marchetti I flew in the Singapore Air Force. I did my final handling test on that airplane, passed, and went on to the next stage. Back then, all the students had their own personal call signs. Instructor call signs started with Foxtrot. So Foxtrot Alpha was a squadron commander and went down the pecking order. Students were assigned their call sign depending on the sequence they soloed. So the first student to solo was Mike Alpha. And I was a fifth guy who soloed, so I was Mike Echo. So what I've got now is I can tell everybody, you know, I've been flying professionally for 40 years. I'm going absolutely nowhere. I'm still flying the same trainer, the same call sign. So that's the end of that. And that's the end of my presentation, and I guess I'll hand it back to Ski, and we'll take questions. And, of course, you know, if you're interested in ownership and other issues, you can always see me after the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. Just a couple of things. You may notice on my Yak 52, there are Ziploc bags on the exhaust stacks and on the bottom cylinder drains. This is a radial engine. The Russians put split rings on all of the pistons. So when it sits, gravity pulls the oil through the pistons into the exhaust stacks or into the intake manifold for the lower cylinders, and it drips. But we don't call that dripping. We in the RPA say that our Yak 52s mark territory. So look how nice and clean this concrete is right here. I want Warbirds of America to invite us back. I did not want my yak marking territory. So the baggies go on. As you can see, she would be soiling this ramp if I didn't have the baggies on. That's our presentation. We will be around for private questions. Red Star Pilot Association will be here to tell you about our planes. Thanks very much.